It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll explore the intersection of poetry, Alzheimer's, and storytelling.
First, a crowd that police estimated in the thousands gathered in front of the Capitol building in Madison this morning to protest two bills that organizers say unfairly target immigrants.
Protesters call today a day without Latinos and immigrants. People opposing those bills have been encouraged not to go to work. Businesses, some of them, have closed for the day in hopes of demonstrating the impact of Latino and immigrant workers.
One bill, SB 533, has passed the House and Senate and awaits approval from Scott Walker. It would restrict counties from issuing local ID cards to undocumented immigrants and others.
The other bill, AB 450, bans what are called sanctuary cities by some, cities where public employees, including police, are not allowed to ask people about their immigration status. That bill's passed the Assembly. It's on its way to the Senate. Here to tell us more about the protest today is Christine Newman-Ortiz, Executive Director of Voces de la Frontera, an immigrant rights and low-wage worker center based in Milwaukee. Christine, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, before we get into those bills themselves, talk a little bit about the protest and the message that you were sending with today's rally.
Well, it was just, we know this is a historic day. It's a historic day for Wisconsin, but it's a historic day for the country. A day without Latinos and immigrants, it is a general strike in the same way that it was called in 2006 to protest the U.S. Congressman Sensenbrenner's national pending bill. And we've had the exact same response, call to action, that same level of commitment. It wasn't just the same level of mass march as of Act 10 in the last 5 years, but it also was a work stoppage, and hundreds of students walked out from all over the state. So it was a very powerful message that people are very, very serious about not being targeted by these discriminatory anti-immigrant bills and having their families threatened. They're not going to stand by idly, and they know that they contribute positively, necessarily, to the state's economy, and they were using that power to send a very strong message.
Well, let's look at the pieces of legislation in particular. First, the one that says, hey, local governments, you can't ban employees, police, and others from asking about immigration status. What do you see as the impact of that?
Well, people, two very real things. I mean, one, that it's basically a green light saying, to inquire about immigration status. And so we know when that happens that, anyone who looks Latino, who has an accent, that really opens the door to law enforcement or others profiling others and harassment. And then on the other hand, for people who are undocumented, it means that good policies, good local law enforcement policies that say that people should not be afraid to come forward and report crimes or if they've been a victim or a witness to a crime, to have that confidence to talk to law enforcement, that those would similarly be challenged. And even though they've tried to make some amendments to it, in effect, it does turn that police mandates them to really play a stronger immigration enforcement role in handing people over to immigration. So we know people are caught up in situations where they have no criminal record or simply now will be afraid to approach police.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the protests are based on what he says are fear and misinformation about the legislation. With that one in particular, he says, and supporters of the legislation say, this is just when someone is arrested. So if you're being arrested, you've committed a crime, that's when we're asking about status. And if you're here and undocumented and committing crimes, then it's reasonable to ask about your immigration status. And if you're committing crimes, you risk being deported.
I think they're just playing mind games with themselves, obviously, because you have tens of thousands of people that just went on strike with their families from all over the state to come here and risk their jobs. That does not match the reality on the ground. We know that, frankly, we already have a system in place that if you've committed a serious crime, where that relationship already exists in terms of, the county jail and being, transferred over to immigration. So that system exists. The reality is that there are way too many issues with people who are being wrongfully deported, or as well as, you know, really challenging, really, you know, we have a lot of cases where people, one in a school where a local law enforcement official, there was a scuffle between two kids. He took one of them, interrogated him about his immigration status, wrote on the ticket, you know, without a principal, wrote on the ticket illegal, and handed, you know, and handed it in. In another case, someone with no criminal record ended up being wrongfully held in jail for 2 weeks and ultimately deported. He has a U.S. citizen child and a wife. Those are common experiences. That's the status quo. This is saying, let's turn up the volume. And what is it at the end of the day saying? It's saying Latinos and immigrants are not welcomed. It's painting, portraying them as a danger, and that's what people are challenging. You know, you instead of being, you know, we are valuable to this state, and we're not going to let you break up our families. And that's what happens. Families are broken up, and people are defending the lives they've built in Wisconsin, and they're defending their families.
Talking to Christine Newman Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera. She was part of the organizational effort behind today's protest rally at the state capitol, A Day Without Latinos and Immigrants, it's been called. Let's turn to the other piece of legislation you're worried about on local IDs. And the idea here is local governments wanting to issue limited forms of ID to residents who can't get other forms, state IDs, things like that, often for local use. A state proposal would limit cities and ban, I believe, counties from issuing those at all. So why is this an important issue for immigrants in Wisconsin?
Because this is something that ever since in Wisconsin we lost access to driver's licenses and the state ID under this federal requirement, the state legislature really hasn't moved to create a driver card option as has been done in other states. And in the absence of that, there are a lot of challenges. I mean, one of those issues is, you know, driving while brown, which affects everybody. But then also it does lead to issues of like second offense, driving without a license becomes a state crime. Before this recent amendment, that would have been the police taking you, holding you and handing you over to immigration. And those are the kinds of things that the movement as a whole has been really pushing back and challenging on unpaid traffic citation. So those are the very reality is that people are afraid to drive because they do think ultimately there are immigration consequences to that. So an ID does not give you the license to drive. It does not change your immigration status. But issues like simply having the security to have an ID if you're questioned by police, even though you will still get that ticket. But that gives people confidence, as well as, you know, there's been testimonies during the public hearings of mothers and grandfathers who cannot go into the school because they don't have a government valid issued ID and who want to participate in the activities of their kids. End Domestic Abuse, the state's largest network against domestic violence in mixed immigration status families, when often it, if the woman is undocumented and her kids and she is in a dangerous situation, she cannot go into the court to be able to get a restraining order or file divorce papers. And those are very real things that matter. And there are many other things, a recycling center, lots of ways. And so what we see this as taking away the right of local government to address the needs of the community. And it's not just the undocumented, as was mentioned at the beginning of the show, but there are also folks who would benefit from these IDs, transgender folks who would have an ID that aligns with their identity, homeless folks. So there are formerly incarcerated people who, because lack of money or lack of the restricted documents that are required for a state ID, are also in a similar situation. So we think it's a beautiful thing to form these coalitions, and it's welcoming some of the most marginalized people in our community and saying, you're valuable.
As we wrap up, Christine, after today's rally, what's next?
Well, what's next is that we are encouraging people to go to our website to sign the petition so that it'll go to the governor and our elected representatives to take a stand. You don't have to be Latino and immigrant to take a stand with Latinos and immigrants, and we're ever so grateful for all the support that we've seen. And secondly, it's about really organizing at the local level. We're forming chapters in all of the different areas where people came. We want to make sure that people connect with their representatives, with their employers, with folks there to send that message and create a permanent state structure so that we can obviously work with a wider coalition of folks, but to really strengthen the voice of the Latino and immigrant community. And we also have very important elections coming up, and that's an important moment to also flex our political strength.
Christine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Christine Newman-Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera. She talked about this morning's A Day and Afternoons, A Day Without Latinos and Immigrants rally at the state capitol.